You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Jacoby Myers is headed to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Raheem Mostert is headed back to the Miami Dolphins.
Donovan Wilson, the safety, returning to Dallas.
The Houston Texans, who are acquiring Shaq Mason.
Taylor Heineke is expected to sign with the Atlanta Falcons.
The New York Giants acquiring star tight end Darren Waller for the Raiders.
Alan Lazard, one of Aaron Rodgers' favorite receivers. Seems to have a lot of favorite receivers, but certainly this is one of them. He is working on a deal with the New York Jets.
I can't say for sure that the Jets have spoken directly to Aaron Rodgers, but I know they've spoken to his camp in the last 24 hours. So, Ian, the communication continues. Aaron Rodgers is driving the car.
Ooh, you can say that again from the Chris Wessling podcast studio. It's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hanses. Day two of, they don't want me to say it, but I will, legal tampering period. Free agency, and we're breaking it all down. Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal, and back for a second straight show.
What?
We are in different types of waters here, and they're warm. Everybody in. Colleen Wolf.
Hey, come on over, everybody. Take a swim.
Cal Ripken over here. Fox. Cal Ripken.
Cal Ripken.
Red buttons, pull up butter, yellow socks.
Colleen, turn this up in my ears.
Johnny back on the show like Miami trade tsunami. A rich history.
Is this Ed Whistle?
I think it's Ed Whistle.
Give me some more Ed Whistle.
Is this, yeah? We like this one.
Turn down ridges, bust a wedding ring, and reject lynches. Fox in the hen house, not just the men's house. Make room, hair rose. This is Connie's penthouse.
Fox in a hen house, not just the men's house?
I don't know.
That was a little risque at line.
Ed Whistle will take it where he must.
He reminds me of a young Marshall Mathers,
sure.
Where he might make you uncomfortable, but he's spitting truth.
He's pushing the envelope.
Pushing it.
That's what he does.
Pushing it. Colleen, how
are
you?
In true Ed Whistle fashion. I'm great.
Classic Ed Whistle.
I showed up today in a sweatshirt, and now I feel like I'm like Bill Belichick vibes a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. should I cut the sleeves off of this and just make it official?
It could be a good look. Maybe that's something we do at the end of the show.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, day two of free agency week, and there are so many things to talk about. Big moves. There is the biggest domino still, I guess. I don't even know if it's a domino anymore with Aaron Rodgers. It has not officially been announced, but we're going to take a little bit of a different angle on this around the NFL. We don't kowtow to Big Raja.
Okay.
Like, we have decided to proceed, Greg, as if this is a done deal.
Right. They don't want you to say legal tampering. They don't want us acting as if the Rodgers move has already happened. We don't listen to they.
Rise up.
We're not on your timeline. We're in the studio. Let's talk about it. I mean, you're bringing in every former Packer outside of like JerMichael Finley to the Jets.
Pushing back.
We know what's happening. Let's just talk about it.
This is the resistance.
Yes.
Welcome.
Breaking news.
I love this attitude. This attitude.
Oh, man. The Jets' quest for a new quarterback, in our minds, has concluded with Aaron Rodgers now being the new quarterback in the Meadowlands.
Thank God it's happened.
And now we will do 50 minutes on whether Joe Namath should give up his number 12 to the Packers legend.
Oh,
let's dig in. Let's start there. No. The news isn't official, but the more reporting that comes out, this is happening. Aaron Rodgers will be the quarterback of the Jets. It's a big difference between now, Connie, and this time yesterday, where I was so filled with anxiety that I was tweeting out Ryan Tannehill trade parameters.
Yeah. And Rich Eisen was like, relax.
Dude, you got to relax. Not
he
even joking.
He gave you relax. No. Wow. That's right.
It was actually, man, you got to calm down.
Oh, calm down. Calm down. Wow. If anyone said that to me, I'd freak out.
He's probably right in a way, because I was spinning. But now when you hear the reports that Alan Lazard is in talks with the Jets and not anybody else. And what was, Mark, what was the Roto World headline connected to Rodgers and the Jets this morning?
Let me source that for you
right
now. It was Rodgers' ransom note to NYJ full of Packers and OBJ. Well, because Aaron Rodgers has asked the Jets to heat seek Randall Cobb, which is like, I'm just going to help a friend
out. Don't eat him.
He truly is.
Alan Lazard, as you know, I think is a good addition.
I think he would be
Mercedes
excellent.
Lewis, who's, I think, my age. Odell Beckham.
Wait, he's part of Generation Next?
I believe he's the only other person in Generation Next.
Wasn't he in MJD's draft class?
Yeah.
He was.
He's like, what?
John Kuhn as well, and also James Starks, who was on the 2010 Super Bowl.
I can't even tell when the joke begins or if that's
no,
all
those
real.
Those last two names are not connected, but it does include Odell Beckham, and it's like, I think if you're Joe Douglas, you're thinking like, could I be more publicly controlled by this individual?
What
Aaron
demands?
Yeah. The reporting is, and people are saying, it's not official. We keep hearing from both sides, it's not official. They still are figuring out. It's like, okay, we get that. It's an annoying negotiation for both sides in terms of the compensation, whether it's the trades or the money that, like, no one wants to lose. But also, both teams are operating absolutely as if it's happening because it has to happen. It's gone too far at this point. And it's exciting. It's exciting for the Patriots to be predicted dead last in the AFC East. Watch out.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if this is true,
it's happening. It's happening.
No, I'm talking about ESPN's reporting, Dianis Russini, with these players that he wants. It also takes two to tango. So he could provide that list. We could see if the Jets actually, in good faith, pursue all those players. I would hope they don't. And I would hope that with, history is instructive, as Chris Wessling was known to say. What we saw with Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson, and Hackett is now in the building with the Jets, if you view your inside of your building as a true partnership between the quarterback and the coach and the staff and the organization, sometimes that could go sideways. So you can't give him everything he wants if you don't think it's right for the team. That said, I do trust the brain trust of Douglas and Saleh to provide the necessary pushback if necessary. Still, he's got to be officially in the boat. On this show, he is. Assuming he is, the Jets are in a very good position. This is a very exciting time for Jets fans. And I just think, and you look at where this would put them in the AFC, it puts them in the mix. It puts them as a legitimate potential contender in the NFL, in the AFC. And I will take that. And I think it's definitely a roll of the dice, but it also makes perfect sense and way better than an alternate universe where they were saying, we took Zach Wilson, number two overall. We're going to give this one more try. This is an aggressive move for a veteran legend quarterback. And maybe you roll a big number and win it all. Who knows?
I mean, we grew up listening to WFAN and NFL Network sampled some Jets callers calling in.
Yes.
The Jets fan base, because, as a Browns fan growing up, like, I think the Jets and Browns had some shared DNA, but forget the Browns. Like, the Jets fan base is out there in a universe all by themselves among all sports fans. I just really feel that way because it's been such a rough, terrible trail through darkness for Jets fans for so long that all this angst and annoyance. There you go. They still cheer. But like with Aaron Rodgers, like this has been an annoying process. We can just it's annoyed us all in various ways. Who cares? If it happens and suddenly Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback, it changes the division entirely. It changes the Jets from top to bottom. And there is an incredibly actual tangible hope that the Jets could be entertaining for the first time in eons.
Right. They've been creating cap space to get to this moment. They also traded for Chuck Clark last week. That was kind of quiet. Mm-hmm. Nice little safety pickup. The reason it all makes sense is because the rest of the team is in a good position. Joe Douglas has put the rest of the team in good position. They lost more games to injury on their offensive line than any team in the league other than the Rams last year. That they had to survive all those injuries. That was a big part of the reason that I think Mike LaFleur got fired was just bad injury luck, because I think he would be a nice offensive coordinator for this team and would fit obviously well with Aaron Rodgers. But Hackett, who hasn't called plays at the NFL level in a long time and doesn't have a great history, should be good enough. And you have Garrett Wilson, you have Elijah Moore. We'll see who ends up staying, because I do think there'll be more moves. I think the timing of all this happening officially would make sense by the league year starting.
Well, it's already happened.
It has already happened. But like
on this show, it has.
On this show, it's happening. Like Wednesday's an interesting day, because I am curious about some of the details contractually, and then who else is on the roster with him. Not just all the former Packers, but if any of these Jets are going to get the heave-ho to clear up cap space. Because a lot of the big cuts around the league, and this isn't just Jets, haven't happened yet, some of the ones I expected. And I think it might happen Wednesday when teams officially have to.
Aaron Rodgers, the GM, you know, it's interesting. It's the moves that he really wants the Jets to make to bring in a lot of these guys in their prime.
Well, see, this is the type like of stuff that people can miss me with. Because it is, this is a moment. The prevailing narrative was that the Jets were going to blow this and not get Aaron Rodgers. And as we've announced on the show
today,
that has not happened. And now the narrative is that it's going to work out terribly and that he's going to run the organization. Everybody, have fun with it.
Well, who is actually saying that? I think
here's Colleen.
Hello.
Go check out the Roto-World headline. It's all fine. But everybody can enjoy it. It's good.
But if it was going to another team, you would have these same concerns, because he has a very short window. It doesn't mean you don't do the move, but giving him all the power in the world is the same.
Did they give him all the power in the world?
We'll
or is that just being reported?
Well, there's some.
He's got the leverage. You might as well use it.
Yeah. The assumption here is that this is how it's going to play out, and perhaps it will. I'm just going to say there's going to be a lot of critical takes around the move, because the assumption that it's not going to work out. And that's what I'm not interested in personally as a football fan, as a Jets fan. I'm just right now absorbing it as a time of incredible hope and optimism as a fan that you took this roster. And Joe Douglas has been a very interesting GM for the team. And I've brought it up before, but I'll bring it up again. He is like in baseball, a power hitter who hits 235, but can hit 50 home runs. And that's how you have Joe, that's how you ended up with Zach Wilson on the roster, which is a big swing and miss. Mekhi Becton, which is a pretty big miss right now. But also how you ended up with Sauce Gardner, home run. Garrett Wilson, home run. Elijah Vera Tucker, home run. Breece Hall, home run. DJ Reed in free agency, another home run last year. And they now have this roster to make a play. And I think it's fascinating that now you add Rodgers, who I think a little bit of what's been talked about with Rodgers and how he wasn't good last year, and he really wasn't. Some people, I think, have attributed that to age, and is he a quarterback in decline? Certainly possible. But he also played with a broken thumb on his throwing hand. Yep. And I think that has been lost in the mix, especially when you realize he won the two MVPs back-to-back the 2 years before. I think, like, again, this is hope season now, and at a very high level, and it could end poorly, because in the past years since I've been a fan, 99, week one, Vinny Blue is Achilles. Pennington with the shoulder issues. Favre starting out great and blowing out his biceps. The Rex years petering out just when it looked like they were about to get over the hump. History tells you the Jets will once again fall on their face. But it just takes 1 year for everything to come together, and I am all in on this being an opportunity for it to happen.
And you should be. You can live in that space, and that's no one can take that away from you. And I also would say that, like, bad luck from the past for literally any sports team has nothing to do with what will happen from here on out. And if I could get one thing for Jets fans to do is to cut ties with all the angst from yesteryear. Let it go, because if you want to treat this
new, you need new ownership for that, though.
That's fine, but you need new energy in general. I love this for the Jets. I think you actually have a good team around Rodgers, which matters, but you may only get Aaron Rodgers for 1 or 2 years. That's the one thing about it, which is a little bit, you still have to build a team. And Joe Douglas is an argument to not get rid of the GM the minute he misses on a quarterback, because he's done other good stuff. The Jamal Adams
trade. Look at the rookies. Rookie of the year. Yeah. Awards.
He can do it. But this only works because I think Aaron Rodgers is coming to a team that's pretty well set up to succeed, but in a very top-heavy crazy AFC. So nothing is guaranteed here.
And even if he's only with the Jets for 2 years, imagine how many primetime games the Jets will have. That would be wonderful.
They could play week one. They could play Thursday opener if they don't do the Super Bowl.
But that stuff can go really well, or it could turn really dark also.
And I think the other part of this yes, it makes them a power player in the AFC, at least ahead of the season. And it goes both ways because I think, yes, there's a lot of pressure on them, and they have a very difficult schedule.
They do not host the Jets, by the way. I just checked.
Okay. They have a tough schedule. The AFC is loaded. Like, there will be a lot of hype around the Jets, but I think it will help them a little bit that it still will be a situation where not everyone's going to be picking the Jets all of a sudden to go to the Super Bowl. They're just now, to me, one of a handful of very compelling teams in a conference that's loaded compared to the NFC.
And it is fascinating to look at the landscape changing in terms of quarterbacks with the NFC now. Who are the best quarterbacks? It's Jalen Hurts, and then where do you go from there?
Dak's probably number two, which is crazy. That's not that crazy, but then it's like
off a cliff.
Like you're talking about like Stafford. You're talking maybe
Goff and Cousins. Yeah. It's not great. It's tricky because like what is gonna mean success for the Jets? I think you make this trade to win a Super Bowl. But I find that daunting to think like that's the only definition of success. Even making a Super Bowl is a daunting definition of success. If they are a winning, exciting team in prime time and they win some playoff games along the way, to me, that would be enough to qualify it as success because you're not doing it right now with Lamar Jackson. With Zach Wilson. The only thing that's crazy is that at this exact time, there's potentially another MVP available. That the winners of three of the last four MVPs are available, Rodgers and Jackson, and you're making this choice to go for Rodgers. There is another door where, in theory, you could try to go after Lamar Jackson and make that happen. It's not happening, and it's just a weird moment in this league that I can't remember two players being available at this high of a level at the exact same time. One's obviously very old and he has complications are involved with bringing him there, including the contract. And Lamar has his own complications too. And they're making this choice. And to me, it's box office. I only checked it. I wasn't trying to be annoying. The Chiefs schedule. Cause I thought when you said that's it, that's the opener. That's amazing. It's a road game. So they wouldn't open in MetLife. They only open in Kansas City, and the Jets are the road team. Cause otherwise that's it right there. I would love that.
I think background's important. Like, we've been doing this podcast 10 years. The Jets are 62-106 with zero playoff appearances in those 10 years. So to add Rodgers to this very exciting young roster makes them relevant in the league and opens the door for something special to happen.
I feel really good about it. I think it's going to be your time. I do.
Are you trying to jinx me?
No, I'm serious.
Are you setting me up?
It is weird when I'm nice. I get it. It feels strange, but I'm serious. I think I haven't seen you experience it yet.
It's been rough, and I do want to watch a Super Bowl with my dad, and the clock's ticking, and it's just like, maybe this will be it.
Where is your dad on all this? I hope we'll talk to him later in the week, but
I don't know, actually, because I don't think he's a huge Rodgers guy. I think he's one of the guys that my dad goes, I don't like Rodgers. He's arrogant. I think he might be under that.
You have to deal with that. Aaron
Rodgers. He's arrogant players list where he ranks. Speaking of rankings, I do have an assignment. My next power rankings is on Monday, Connie.
I don't know.
We might have a podcast next Monday.
When?
Tuesday. Heads up.
She's so busy.
About the schedule of this show by listening to the pod. And I'm wait, what? The schedule changes next week?
I might have three AFC East teams at the top 10 in the power rankings.
That's part of the trick here. It's so hard to make a Super Bowl. Look, the Bengals are going to feel as good or better about their chances to make the Super Bowl as the Jets.
Yep.
The Bills, I would put in that category.
Yep.
The Dolphins are close. If they're not, if they wouldn't be right there, to me,
they're 9-10 to me in some order. Yeah. I have to figure that out.
They're close. The Ravens, if they can keep Lamar Jackson, are still going to believe that they are contenders. The Jaguars, I would put them a couple low personally, but they're going to have high hopes. We know the Chiefs are the Chiefs. The Chargers and Broncos are trying to get in the mix. Maybe they're a little below where the Jets at, but they're not schlubs.
What
and
a
it's
conference.
Like, it's
Very
just like a lot of teams.
Yeah.
It's a lot of teams.
A lot of teams in the NFL.
I just mean a lot of teams.
Like 30-something.
gotta be disappointed.
Over 30 teams, definitely.
That just means half of those teams are gonna go into next offseason with deep disappointment. Yes. That's all.
Yes, yes. It's pretty crazy though. Aaron Rodgers on the Jets. This is a thing that's happening.
Right, and we
it's very strange.
We beat the mainstream news outlets
lamestream
by days. Uh-huh. Who knows? Yeah. By the time Keith comes on later this week, hopefully,
if this is not
the
done
lamestream
this
media
week,
will have caught
we have
up.
Some problems.
all right.
Please refer to our show from 12 days ago when he finally signs.
And what do we do? What if we do right, something now, hyper now we don't need to Rodgers do the, happens? Just.
Well, an emergency
no,
pod.
No, we're not, what do we do? This is the emergency right
well,
now.
Well, like we can, like, we're gonna keep coloring in, you know,
what we
the coloring
done,
book here with some of the details when it happens. But this is taking care of the emergency.
We
pod.
Should have banked the pod like. Ahead of time. The emergency pod. The Aaron Rodgers is signed. Done
Did
deal.
Did we do this
yeah.
right?
And then unleash it.
Start over.
Well, it's too late.
I have some notes.
Yes, Mr. Graver, our
if
producer.
He retires at the end of all this, I'm just going to like edit funny. This oh pod, God. Delete this section of it, and we'll just roll straight into the next.
And so here, okay, thank you. That kind of sets me up for my last point. If something does happen, if he retires or if he forces himself back to the Packers and makes their life more hell, I will be hyper disappointed because you just heard everything I just said in the last 20 minutes. But I'll also be like, all right, we dodged that bullet. This guy is completely off the reservation because this it wouldn't make any sense. This makes too much sense. It has to happen. That's why it did happen on this show, in this studio, right now.
What is a bit broken. Like? What would be a more high level? I would almost enjoy this. A bigger punking of the Jets than Aaron Rodgers convincing Joe Douglas.
You would
Douglas.
Almost enjoy it. Go on.
Well, to go, let's yeah. say the Jets go get Randall Cobb.
I They've hate this terrible Lazard, plan that you're
Mercedes Lewis and Odell Beckham, and then Aaron Rodgers just retires. It's like you're yeah. stuck. He's just like, I just did it to you, Jets.
And then like Joe Douglas does his press conference, and it looks like he hasn't shaven in a week, and he's drunk, and he's like, we just like the upside of all these players. It has nothing to do with
savvy
the
vets.
Quarterback. Yeah.
Leaders.
Grizzled.
How can you not be romantic about football, man?
I'm still going to give a little flower, some flowers. Oh, wait, we're not giving flowers.
Why are we? Well, Greg, why?
To Trey Wingo. You know, I think he was right in terms of the timing here. That was the moment where the bat signal was sent out. Now it's like you got to fill in all the details around him, but I'm not questioning that man's reporting. So he was the one person that beat this show.
Because it is official.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's happened.
So he broke it. You're right. But we're like the first – we are the first show to analyze the
yeah,
move
yeah.
with certainty that it happened.
To really dig in.
Yeah, I think Wingo would respect what we've done here.
All right, let's take a break.
Okay.
It's one of the stranger segments we've done, I feel like. But I feel okay about it. I think part of it as a Jets fan is I feel like this might be the ultimate jinx scenario, that we're like daring the universe to do something stupid
no.
now. But –
absolutely.
It's too late now.
Honestly, yeah. this was like a therapy session, yeah. I feel like.
Right. It's like a small risk.
Really good work today, Dan.
Like, I don't feel like it's a risk. We're not afraid of Aaron Rodgers, but if this somehow went south, this would be a funny moment in podcast history.
It would be. It would. But Colleen, for the first time in a long time, I feel like myself.
This was really great work by you, and the work will continue. It's never finished, but
communication.
We made some really good progress today.
Great. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep. You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game. That's my game, bro.
All right, we're back. All right, so we broke down the Rodgers situation, and hopefully this is where it is. And we will now look at the rest of the league, day two of the free agency period. The league year starts officially tomorrow, Wednesday. We'll be back with another show to break all that down. But deals are happening. Let us start. Well, let's stay in New York. It is on in New York City right now with the football teams. The Giants, of course, coming off a – it's on. Turn that up in my headphones. Is there more to this song?
No.
Or is this just the whole song? Are there verses?
No, this is it.
You want to find out?
These are the verses.
In another minute of song
here. Let's
let
it breathe just a little bit more. Hang on. Hear those lasers?
I do like that.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get a verse. So people are excited,
it's
obviously.
A very clear, simple message.
It is on. The Jets have Aaron Rodgers, and the New York Giants have now added a big piece on their offense with Darren Waller, who has moved in a trade from the Raiders to the G-Men for a third-round pick. A third-round pick, Mark Sessler, for a player who not so long ago got a huge contract and was seen as a pillar, a load-bearing weight. Is that what they said in Los Angeles?
Wall? Load-bearing wall?
A wall, load-bearing
weight-bearing wall.
Weight-bearing wall of the Raiders.
Yikes.
The fourth table leg. Here he is.
Yeah, he is now, I guess, was deemed to be a fifth table leg on a square table and has been sent packing. Big pickup for the Giants.
I mean, it is. You need to continue to add weapons because you have Sterling Shepard, Isaiah Hodgins, Wandale Robinson, and not a lot else. Daniel Bellinger at tight end. I continue to kind of wonder what the Raiders are attempting to accomplish on our planet at this point. But I just simply, anything that the Giants do on offense, I just start essentially with Brian Daboll and say, I trust it. I just trust it's going to work out. And, Waller was phenomenal with the Raiders for a stretch last year. I mean, injuries and stuff, he vanished a bit. But I think it's a great pickup for a Giants team that cannot stop adding weapons left and right.
It's so messy from the Raiders, though.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Like, they gave him a really good contract, which he earned with a couple of big seasons, 2019, 2020. But they gave him that contract right before last season started. And then there were reports that he was available for a possible trade just months later, like literally 6 weeks later at the NFL trade deadline, that Darren Waller might be available. And there was even buzz that, like, Josh McDaniels, it wasn't quite a fit. He didn't love him, but then they gave him the contract. So it sure looks like from the outside that ownership wanted to give him that contract. And I can understand that, like, he was great for the Raiders, but the coaching staff didn't really want him. So they gave him the contract, and now they're trading him for pennies on the dollar like 6 months later. It's just like, that's not how a good team is
it
run.
It just feels like a very Josh McDaniels. Like, Josh McDaniels to me is an agent of chaos.
Radar's up.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Darren Waller, the concern I have with him is the injury history. But those two back-to-back seasons that he had with the Raiders were bonkers. He was so productive with them. And you think how far he's come from, what was he like, signed off the practice squad from the Ravens?
Yeah, personal issues that he overcame.
Right.
Yep.
So it is a comeback story, and it's an absolute need for the Giants. They've been pretty quiet in free agency, and now they go out and they get a pass catcher.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mark, that the Daboll of it all, benefit of the doubt. You just gave Daniel Jones a lot of money, working under the theory that he will become something greater than he is right now, which is taking the step up and becoming like a top 10 quarterback in the league. Waller is sneaky old. Maybe a sneaky old Hall of Famer. He's entering his age 31 season, but still should have at least a couple of years in the tank where he could be an elite guy for them. I think it's a good trade for the Giants, for the Raiders. It tells you that McDaniels obviously is running things and also, you know, is that an organization to trust? And then the one other part, the kind of fun little nugget in all this is that this is the 100th overall pick that's being moved. That is a draft pick that the Giants got from the Chiefs for Kadarius Toney. So the Giants essentially traded Kadarius Toney for Darren Waller. And that's interesting.
And I like the way the contract is structured, too, because there's no guaranteed money after 2023. So they can see what they have in him this season and then not have to be on the hook for it.
Right. To the Raiders' credit, they structured the contract they gave to Waller in such a way they're actually not taking any cap hit for this almost at all. There's very little dead money. And I think it's a good deal for the Giants because there's not a lot of risk. He's going to make $11 million this year, and that's totally fair. And as Colleen mentioned, if for some reason it didn't work out, and you know he only had what under 400 yards last year, a little over 600 yards two seasons ago, so that's a couple seasons there. If it didn't work out, then they'll move on, and they barely gave up anything for it. The 100th pick, that's basically a fourth-round pick. At some point, I feel like we need to add an eighth round. There's so many compensatory.
Big take time.
Okay, here we go.
Well, the Niners got how many?
A lot.
Yeah. So many.
There's so many compensatory picks that there's actually more than a round worth of compensatory picks. There's more than 32.
Yeah.
So we're into the eighth round. Like this 100th pick is
okay,
that's
or
fine.
Get rid
is
of
it
the
really
seventh
the third round or the fourth round? Yeah.
And just use it as compensatory.
Sure. Well, there used to be what, 12 rounds back in the day.
Well, I was going to say, personally speaking, day three of the draft is a bit of a slog. I'm ready to tape that podcast.
That's a rough
adding
day.
Another round.
No,
it makes us have to stay longer. And
oh, so don't.
Well,
do that.
It's just
yeah,
in the naming. Every 32
oh,
picks,
it's still the same
call
amount
the name.
Of picks.
Same
okay.
amount of picks. I just mean it's confusing.
Yeah,
to
but
me.
More commercial breaks potentially.
Yeah, like I a mean, lot of nonsense. Some... Like they had the orangutan announcing
oh,
a pick
geez.
In Indianapolis or something like that a couple
you
years.
Just
you
open
gotta
the door
spice
for
it
that.
Up. Come, yeah. They gotta be showmen too.
I thought that. No, we just need to let's get it put it make it 2 minute. You got 2 minutes to make a pick after round three.
I love this by the way. Just the risk wise for the Giants because I thought they were maybe going to try to sign Gesicki or Dalton Schultz just because there's not good wide receivers available and there's some good tight ends. Instead, they get Waller.
And maybe Waller was a two-year wonder or whatever and it doesn't work out. But it never quite sat well with me, and I think a lot of Giants fans felt the same way that the Toney trade, given the upside that he had as a player, and then you watch what he did in the Super Bowl, kind of helping to win that game for the Chiefs. Now I feel better about it. I'm a Giants fan. Now I have this potential all-pro tight end that you traded essentially for Toney. And, yeah, there's a reason.
They're not done.
A lot of optimism in the Meadowlands
right now. I guarantee they're
going
to bring in another receiver. I don't know if it'll be a trade or a free agent, but they need one.
Speaking of wide receivers, Michael Thomas and the Saints are staying in business. He signed a one-year $10 million contract with New Orleans. He can earn another $5 million. In incentives, that from Schefter. Greg, that is a deal that makes sense.
Yeah, it's weird. I think part of it, and the Michael Thomas contract is very hard to understand because at this point it's been restructured like 17 times, including as recently as January or February, which was supposedly going to lead to a release. But they would have eaten, I believe, if I'm understanding it right, a lot of dead cap hit if they cut him, so you might as well keep him. Because I'm like, how does Michael Thomas have the leverage at this point to make $10 million? Like, he hasn't played football in quite a long time. But I think it's because they would have eaten that cap hit if he wasn't on the team. So you might as well keep him around. There's a lot of incentives on that deal. He was excited about Derek Carr. And they actually have a kind of a fun group of weapons if Michael Thomas could ever stay healthy.
Yeah, Chris Olave. I mean, like, I think he helped recruit Derek Carr
he
to
did.
Some degree. Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's always a plus for the quarterback. Not unlike the Raiders, the Saints continue to mystify me on some levels as to what the actual goal is here on but Michael
to keep
Thomas
their jobs.
I guess so. Michael Thomas like has vanished
goal.
From our lives for the past
well,
two
he
plus
was
years. Three
season
plus years.
Ending injury, what, three games into the season last year, and then the offense and the team was sort of irrelevant because of the quarterback play. And so now when you have Derek Carr in there and a jazzed up Michael Thomas after he yeah, that's what a little jazz
a little jazzy.
Jazzed up Michael Thomas and
whoa,
so
that's a
drop. That character.
Thank you for that.
But yeah, she's double. Back. I don't know. What did we say her name is? Doreen?
She was Aunt Doreen. Yeah.
Aunt Doreen. But
she's 64 years old and she's got a lot of pluck for an older lady.
She's got a wine issue.
She's been smoking packs of cigarettes for years and years. Guys, it's just my asthma. I don't smoke. But Derek Carr, he said that he couldn't get off the phone with Michael Thomas. Like Michael Thomas was such a huge, huge factor in him kind of signing there and putting everything over the edge. So it just makes sense.
That's a good thing they kept him.
You know?
Yes. So we will see how that is. And by the way, he did look, I don't know if you mentioned it, Greg. I was doing a little administrative work. He looked pretty good early on last season before he went down again.
That's fair. And I think Saints fans would have been heartbroken. To see him in another uniform and then stay healthy. So I do kind of like this. There is like a little bit of a vibe of like, oh, those guys are still there with the Saints though, like including their head coach, Jameis Winston, is coming back. He's going to be Derek Carr's backup.
Did you say head coach?
Including their head coach.
Right, yeah.
Head coach, comma, and Jameis Winston?
Right, no, yeah. I just mean like, Dennis Allen, he's still their coach. That's odd. Michael Thomas is still there. Oh, Jameis Winston is Derek Carr's backup in the year...
Like that relationship
2023 for the New Orleans Saints. I don't know. That seems weird, but
it does.
I think it was a good move for the Saints. He's only getting $4 million. Jameis's market really took a hit. And for $4 million, that's a nice backup.
Like Dennis Allen and Jameis Winston seem to have a weird year together, like relationship-wise last season.
Yeah. I know. I mean, Dennis Allen is not a popular figure on the show, and I don't know. He doesn't have a huge track record of success. But, like, you know, what was he supposed to do last year? Was he – you act like he was coaching the 07 Patriots.
It was just the way that he ran the team. I don't think, he has shown anything as a head coach. I mean, he is 15-38.
Right.
Well, that's not good.
It was a strange promotion at the time. And
yeah.
But it was a tough situation with injuries to the quarterback room. And
so, yes, I'm not giving
receivers.
You a ton of rope when your historical record is
Well, you're not giving him
15.
Any rope. You're saying he should have been
Chauncey Gardner, right. He's one of the reasons that player was not on the Saints, and he was sort of the heart and soul of that defense.
Was he in contention to win the NFC South in, like, late December, early January?
Well, what's that saying?
Well,
nothing.
That's the joke. That's
so were we.
And then he lost to who? He did beat the Eagles.
No, remember they got a little hot.
They were the Eagles killers. I know, but then in the Week 18, they lost to that Sam Darnold performance. It wouldn't have mattered in the end anyway.
I do wonder if Derek Carr is going to move up in the quarterback rankings, having a good defense and then having Chris Olave and having Michael Thomas. Right. Like, what if things actually turn around a bit?
We'll see. I mean,
if I have to do a power rankings next week, when are the quarterback rankings out?
Don't even suggest that right now.
I'm going to broach that.
I just wish I could read an article about that right now.
The system is kind of John Gruden-like in New Orleans. I'm with you. I think it can kind of work.
I would say maybe that's something to start working up.
Yeah. I have an article coming out next week.
Excellent.
Where I grade
this is free
various trades.
Oh, you're doing grades?
Yeah.
Oh.
So Dan
I'm entrenched already. So.
All right. And other wide receiver news. The Raiders. The Raiders, who just traded Darren Waller, signed wide receiver Jacoby Myers, formerly of the Patriots. 3 years, $33 million. There is something, going back to this McDaniels thing, something inevitable about a Josh McDaniels team, about how certain moves are made and what's done, and bringing in his former wide receiver Myers, who had a good market, Mark, in this particular free agency. I think it was helpful to him that he came out this year. He gets $21 million guaranteed. So I know Patriots fans wanted Myers back, but Josh McDaniels got the guy he has history with.
You could argue for our, slapping the Raiders to and fro, that Davante Adams, Jacoby Myers, and Hunter Renfrow is one of the better trios, wide receiver-wise, in the conference.
It's probably in the back end of the top 10, maybe.
I like the move a lot.
Adams is doing a lot of work.
He's doing a lot of, but he's that good.
Yeah, he is. And he vanished for games a couple times last year. But I think it's you've got to try to treat Jimmy G the way he had so many people around him in San Francisco. Mm. And I thought
in those 8 games you have Jimmy G on the field this year, you really want to put a lot of good players.
You're already suggesting that's all he'll last for. Okay.
I love Jacoby Myers. So I do think that they're flexible. He can play inside and out. Renfrow, he's kind of just an inside guy, but Adams can play inside and out. That wasn't a lot of money. The free agency market in general, I think, has been somewhat conservative outside of like the linemen. But yeah, you didn't have to pay for much. I'm not sure why the Patriots wouldn't pay Jacoby Myers $11 million a year. But it does give Jacoby Myers a chance to make good on his history in Las Vegas, because the last time he was there, he was throwing a lateral that got intercepted by Chandler Jones. So I like that eventually he gets his money there.
That's the best newsroom moment for me of the SoFi era, that lateral interception.
You want to hear it? I have it.
You have the play itself?
Look at that. Uh-huh. Yeah. Look at that.
Okay.
Gravedigger.
Gravedigger.
Mac Jones hands it off on a draw to Ramondre Stevenson. Breaks out of a tackle at the 50, has the 45, breaks away from another tackle, pitches it backwards, and now Jacoby Myers spinning around. He throws it.
No!
To Chandler
Don't
Jones
throw it to Chandler Stifle. Jones!
Chandler Jones racing towards the end zone! He scores! Oh my goodness!
Did that knock the Patriots out of the playoffs so far?
No,
spiritually it did.
They actually had a good chance still a couple of weeks later, but they lost.
But if they had that win, would they have been in? It doesn't matter.
It's amazing that happened to Bill Belichick. I just think it's hilarious.
It was crazy. Chandler Jones,
by the way,
of all people.
Well, here's what also has happened to Bill Belichick. How about you have like one wide receiver under contract right now? What are we doing
here
in New
England? Absolutely have used like somebody like
Darren
Waller. I mean, like
Bill O'Brien's like,
don't have Jacoby Myers
WTF,
now.
Bro.
Yeah, they paid Nelson Aguilar $11 million a year a couple of years ago, and they wouldn't do it for Myers. They will bring in some players, but the whole idea of like, hey, let's go get those former Patriots never worked in the past, but it really doesn't work when you're doing it off of like a 7-10 Patriots team. It's like, oh, the Texans can't wait to bring in Chase Winovich. It's like stealing off of this mediocre Patriots team does not seem like a strategy.
And Jacoby Myers, he actually had a pretty good season year, considering what a mess the Patriots offense was.
He was like the one good player.
The events of Las Vegas, notwithstanding, he was a quality player for them.
Yeah.
He was good.
In bad circumstances.
He was entertaining in that Vegas game. It's highly entertaining.
Made some
maybe
big
not,
plays
you know,
in that game,
not
too.
For everyone, but
especially
I was entertained.
I was immensely entertained. Austin Eckler, let's update this situation. We talked about it yesterday that the report was out that he was requesting permission for the Chargers to seek a trade. He has been granted that permission, according to sources. So now Eckler, I would think, will be moved. I could be wrong, but it seems like this is all headed a certain direction and not a good one if you're a Chargers fan. It makes you seem like you're a little bit Little League, in my opinion, because you have Justin Herbert and you have this window and you have Keenan Allen with not too many big time years left. You got Mike Williams in the build. Let's go for it with this great core, and instead you're going to trade away a guy that has 38 touchdowns in 2 years. What makes sense is a good landing spot, Colleen, Austin Eckler.
Did we talk about the Bills
yesterday? I think that's mine. That's absolutely right.
I would love
right.
that. Yep. I would say the Dolphins, but didn't they just sign someone?
They just re-signed Mostert and Jeff Wilson. Okay, they are bringing back their backfield for pretty low money.
Running it back.
Maybe the Bears, maybe.
Ooh, a lot of money still.
I think the Bears and the Falcons, who both have a lot of cap space, would
the
make
Bengals,
some sense.
The Bengals, if Joe Mixon.
What about Tyler Algier? Tyler Algier is not
going to be. No, but that's a combo.
It's not going to be usurped by anyone.
But that's thunder and lightning. Okay. I mean, that's the combo. I think Eckler is going
to
be
Cordell
better.
Patterson? Is he not in there?
Well, he's there too, but he feels like you can use them all. They used like five guys. I just feel like that's a fun duo. It's a team that likes
to run. Here's a great landing spot, the Chargers. How about, what are we doing here?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
So I don't feel great about the Chargers, but I never feel great about the Chargers.
Bengals, cut Joe Mixon and go get Eckler. That actually kind of feels like a Bengals move.
I do like, your draft assets have been depleted after the trade with the Bears, but the Panthers traded Christian McCaffrey. They have a need back there, I think, in their backfield, and you're going to you pair him. He is, you know what Eckler is among many things, including friend of the show. Mm-hmm. He is kind of a quarterback's best friend, and if you give a young quarterback Austin Eckler behind you, somebody as a safety valve that you know you could get the ball to, and he's going to find a way to help your team win games and get in the end zone.
I would say this. I wouldn't hate the Eagles, but the Eagles have just agreed to terms with Rashad Penny, according to Ian Rappaport.
I like that. Rashad Penny is
fine.
I mean, I don't think they had to pay a lot for him, but when he was healthy, and that's been a very short time in his career, he was incredible.
So it's like a total low-risk, high-reward move. I doubt they're paying him any more than a couple $1 million or something.
I didn't go breaking news there because I know we're in a fragile place with the breaking news.
A little bit, yeah.
So I just wanted to just allow the news to
again, Justin has earned the right to take some creative and editorial leaps.
Yes.
And he leapt there.
He leapt.
I think maybe you got – here's some – I have some more notes for the pod. Okay. Maybe there's some drops that are not breaking news, but, like, maybe you need to do some, like, developing news, some
developing
okay news.
I think that would have been
some
a developing
news. With a pop,
I didn't want
to
second guess.
Right. Yeah. But just like, hey, this is some news. Not, yeah.
Maybe there's a third – there's a new drop that we don't have that is the perfect valve for a Rashad Penny.
That little clown nose horn. That Wes used to love.
Maybe
so
the listeners can make one.
That's mean. That's mean. We were at a big time.
Oh, he did love that
Rashad
one.
Penny to the Eagles, guys.
We were at a big Rashad Penny performance with our families.
Yes.
On a random
That's
Tuesday
correct.
Afternoon football game. He won't cost much, by the way, Austin Eckler. Like these trades, Waller goes for nothing. Ramsey goes for nothing. Might be a good sign. Rodgers, because of the contract, might not go for as much as people think. Like Eckler, I think they'd basically be giving him away for close to free. Like it'd be like a fourth
round,
pick and saving the money. I don't think it would cost that much.
All right. Let's hit a little four-pack here. Defensive lineman getting paid. Draymond Jones gets $51 million over 3 years from the Seahawks. Zach Allen to the Broncos, $32.5 million, fully guaranteed. Dalvin Tomlinson. To the Browns, $27.5 million guaranteed on 4-year deal. Marcus Davenport gets $13 million from the Vikings. Takeaways. Shoot them out.
I like what the Browns have done so far with Tomlinson and Ogbo Okoronkwo.
Got it.
I kind of like Tomlinson was very good for the Vikings. He had a 2-year $20 million or $21 million contract last time around in free agency. He outperformed that. Like guys who can take up multiple positions, no matter what type of front that you use, they could use some run stopping. I feel like the Browns have quietly had a couple nice days.
Well, those were absolute defensive line edge were massive needs for Cleveland, and I started to see this defensive lineman going everywhere else. Cleveland found a way back in, so that's good for them. I think Zach Allen is an interesting one for the Broncos. It also for me highlights how desperate the Cardinals are right now. There is no Zach Allen anymore. There's no J.J. Watt. You don't really have any presence at edge, and I just think that team is spiraling into the abyss.
Broncos are spending more money than anyone. They're the offseason champs here. Ben Powers, $28 million guaranteed. McGlinchey, $50 million guaranteed. Zach Allen, $32 million guaranteed, who is one of my favorite free agents.
I love that signing. I love Zach Allen. And also, it's going to be nice for him to go to Denver and, you know, Vic Fangio or Vance Joseph's there. So you have like a nice little rapport already in place
Good
for the
call.
Transition.
Good call. They also re-signed Alex Singleton, gave him too much money probably for like an okay off-ball linebacker. Jared Stidham got a lot of money. They're just spending that Walmart money. I think there is an advantage to being a rich owner. You can spend more cash.
Did you say one advantage?
I mean, because there's a salary
cap.
There
is an advantage.
The advantage is like capped on some level because of the salary cap. But these teams like the Saints who act like a rich team.
Is this guy talking escrow? Are you talking escrow over
here? They got that Walmart escrow. They're going to open up a new Walmart just to put their NFL escrow in. Is that how it works?
Talk money to
I'm
us.
I'm not sure how it works, but I like the concept.
When you have a lot of
Is that NFL Network's Greg Rosenfeld?
Thank you, Justin.
I remember that one. That's a good one. Escrow, yeah. Escrow, you need actually a physical space, like a big warehouse to keep it, I believe. So, yeah, that's why. I
mean, it's physical
just,
money.
Piles
what it
of
is.
Money.
Yeah, just piles.
Suitcases.
Yes, you know. Or the big money bags, the canvas bags with the dollar sign on
that's
it.
That's what it is.
Just like gold treasure, like in a treasure chest.
Right, like a big pool you jump into like Scrooge McDuck.
All right, Seahawks fans were very surprised because that Draymond Jones got one of the biggest contracts in all of free agency. There's a lot of money there in the first 2 years, and they never spend big. I never know exactly what the Seahawks are doing, but he's like a high-risk, high-reward type of signing. I would say Davenport is too, and it kind of makes me think Za'Darius Smith is gone. That was just a 1-year deal for Davenport, who's had a very up and down career.
Well, Seattle also released Shelby Harris, who I like, and Quentin Jefferson, so they needed a body.
Seattle's an interesting team to try to figure out. We have to wait kind of till after the draft. They have premium pick coming up. Like, where do they fit in right now when you talk about the NFC?
This would indicate that they really want their defense. Like, they're going to be a little more aggressive in the pass to make that defense better. Hasn't been great for a while.
Let's take a break, and then we'll hit the rest.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game winner ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name.
That's my game,
bro. All right, we're back. Let's get into some backup quarterbacks. Jameis Winston, we mentioned, he is going back to New Orleans to back up Derek Carr. A little bit surprising, you could say, but that's kind of also kind of where Winston's career seems to be at this point. He doesn't appear to be a guy seen as a bridge at this point. He went through the young franchise star number one overall pick phase, then he went through the Saints fresh start slash bridge phase, and now maybe this is his market. He finds a backup place where he's comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, watching him last season, it was a rough start for him, and then he was hurt, so I felt for him a little bit in that, but he also didn't really perform great in those starts. 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. It's been rocky for him from the beginning, and it continues to be that way.
Mm-hmm. In other quarterback news, Taylor Heinicke. How about this, Sessie? He is joining the Falcons. So the idea of the Falcons getting in on Lamar Jackson, well, now they have their quarterback, quote unquote, of the future in Desmond Ridder. Now you have Taylor Heinicke as a fairly high-level backup. I guess maybe they are out on Lamar.
I think they're also – it tells me they're – the deal for Heinicke is a 2-year deal worth up to $20 million. We'll see the particulars, but
– the first year was just 6.25, so it's kind of like a 1-year, $6 million deal with incentives.
Fair enough. I mean, it tells me, though, that they – I take them off my list of a team that, you know, they have a high draft pick that they're going to go quarterback there. I think that there's enough belief in Desmond Ridder, and that came right from Arthur Blank. I mean, do you think they just
maybe
go draft someone?
I don't know if Taylor Heinicke would stop them. But they're actually at a spot in the draft.
It's a combination of him and Ridder. I think something like they seem to like Ridder enough.
They love
maybe
him.
Maybe.
That seems like a real stamp of approval of Ridder getting Heinicke.
I think they also know where they are in the draft. They're not going to trade up, and they're at 8. Then you're not
going
to have a great guy fall to you necessarily. I did find it interesting. Heinicke had a market. Washington wanted him back. And he ended up getting more than Mike White and more than Sam Darnold and more than Jameis Winston. I mean, only a couple million dollars more only. But
I kind of like Heinicke. I think he does some things here and there. He's spicy. He's kind of got some verve to him.
They targeted him. I mean, you know who else got some verve? Lamar Jackson.
Right. So they say that they don't want Lamar Jackson, but they're super in on Desmond Ridder and Taylor
it's
Heinicke.
It's going to be annoying because I don't think the Lamar Jackson story is necessarily going to get written until after the draft.
Lamar is tweeting today, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Here's what he had to say, because there was a report out there that he turned down $200 million guaranteed. That came from Schefter back in September. And then Lamar replied, $133 million over 3 years fully guaranteed. Emoji face, like an annoyed emoji face, I would say. But I need an agent. Laughing face, face palm. Mm. I think you do, sir, but that's okay. So then he added, people throw poop emoji at the wall and hope it sticks. Crying laughy emoji. Looks like someone blowing smoke emoji.
Also,
his response to the initial tweet, which was an aggregated report about Schefter, which I don't even know if I need to find out the particulars if Schefter exactly reported that. But he was saying that never happened, the 200 guaranteed. And if he was offered 133 over three, you know, it's a little bit of an insulting offer. It's not an offer that the Ravens would ever expect Lamar Jackson to take.
I think Lamar should have just done this whole holdout thing a year ago.
Yes, you know? He lost his leverage.
Right. I mean, it's like other quarterbacks got paid by doing that earlier in their contract status. And if you're Todd Monken, who's their new OC, you're sitting here, I mean, you know, there's time, but you don't know who your quarterback is.
I do like that he's annoying, like, all the football cognoscente. Like, on some level, if the people that are most angry that you don't have an agent are agents who aren't exactly like the greatest people in the world and insiders, like, who are in bed with agents, I don't know. You might be doing something right if
you have a vendetta against agents. You have an agent, by the way.
Nobody really likes their agent, I feel like. Deep down.
I just mean, are we caping for the integrity of, like, sports agents?
Is that like they perform a job?
Sure.
And it might not be savory to you, Greggy, but it's all part of how the sausage
gets
made.
It's a nasty business.
Absolutely. Right. But when the people in the media essentially work with the agents.
We have Ian coming on as a tandem.
But Florio has been very outspoken about he really needs an agent. He needs an agent. When the interests of the journalists and the agents are the same and they're kind of working on the same team together in a lot of ways, that's how they do their job. To me, that's problematic. And when one person pushes against it, you do kind of I root for that one person.
I mean, I think it's made it more complicated for himself by not having an agent. There are certain little things here and there that an agent could have helped to facilitate this and probably move the timeline up a bunch from where he sits right now. He's not in great position.
We'll see where it all ends.
Will it end with Lamar Jackson being a Jet?
No, because we have established that that is no longer something that they would be.
Unless Aaron Rodgers says, I also want Lamar Jackson on the roster.
We'll see if they can facilitate that.
How about your boy Mike White going to be starting a big-time game against the Jets next year?
I love that signing for Miami.
$4.5 million. Gets the exact same money as Sam Darnold, taking 168 picks behind him in the 2018
Mike
draft.
White.
That's why it's unfair.
I love Mike White.
It's unfair. Yeah. Like, ball don't lie. Now they're making the same, but he didn't make the same up until this point.
Mike White's a guy that people love if you only, like, remember a couple games.
Everybody loves a backup quarterback.
I'm not turning on him. I'm just
saying.
You
gotta admit, though, in that system with McDaniels, like, and Tyreek Hill, and who knows?
He could make a string of starts, and then a year later, get a much better deal. Let me just put it this way.
I've been in on Mike White when he had two big games. One against the Bears, who were the worst team in the league last year, and then a legitimately great kind of within a dark period of their organization's history. It goes down in lore, a 400-yard, three-touchdown game against the Bengals in 2021 that ended up with his uniform going to the Hall of Fame. He has a fun little footnote.
I'll never forget that game, honestly.
In a dark time in Jets history. So I will always be rooting for Mike White. He was also very popular in that locker room, so he's a good guy.
Played with broken, shattered ribs. I mean,
poorly. But
you know what? There's something different about him and the other quarterbacks in that room a year ago.
I wouldn't be able to walk with a broken rib.
Right. I mean, I hope the best for him. It'll be great. I'm sure he'll destroy the Jets.
You don't need to worry about Mike White anymore.
It'll be great.
You've got Aaron Rodgers now. So.
All right, here we go. What else do we have here?
What about Kirk?
Kirk?
Kirk does not get a contract extension, which to me is a great sign.
Kirk Cousins, you refer to.
Yes, is a great sign for the Vikings. They've been on this weird trajectory with Cousins where the way his contract works, it's almost like they have to put off the pain another year and they give him an extension every year to put off that pain. And this year they're starting to like take themselves off that Kirk Cousins narcotic and they just restructured it. And they're, I think, going to take the pay next year. It just is setting up for this to be the last Kirk year.
It's always with Cousins, everything. And it took a while for it to play out in his favor. And there was a lot of, you know, I'm sure uncomfortable times with Washington before he finally got the double franchise tag into a big payday to Minnesota, into another big payday to Minnesota. He might finally be out of leverage after a career of incredible earnings for basically 500 plays as teams. Well, now he's above that 500 mark because they insanely won 13 games last year. As a totally middling team.
By the slimmest of margins, like every single time. I said it so many times on our Power Rankings podcast that watching the Vikings was just such a white-knuckling experience.
They'll be interesting
all the way
this
to
year.
The end.
I wonder where Vegas will have their over-under.
8.5. They feel like they're rebuilding. They might just their roster. I don't know how this offseason's going to go. This means they put off a little pain though, a little bit restructuring his deal.
They're just trying to get under the cap.
They kept Garrett Bradbury. They got other issues. Yes, I think we'll see some
cut Adam
big
Thielen,
names cut.
Yeah. Cut Eric Kendricks.
All right, let's play the game real quick here. Career earnings for Kirk Cousins. No looking, no cheating, Colleen. I saw you took a little glance.
I can't see anything.
Career earnings for Kirk Cousins since entering the league in 2012. Greg, are you Googling over there?
No.
Okay.
I was, but I didn't. I thought you were just asking Colleen.
The
whole gang. It's a big number. He just cleared a very big milestone.
All right. I'm going to go 211.
I'll go 235.
I mean, I putting myself
250.
In
that. He has made $201 million. You guys all went over. Price is Right rules. That's a loss.
So by technically you win.
I'm not involved.
Okay.
It's a win for Kirk.
Win for Kirk. That is absolutely well put, Greg. Great transition moment. Calais Campbell cut in Baltimore. A nice message from the team, I believe, they sent out. And then Mike G reported yesterday on our air that he might come back to Baltimore, but I don't know where
he didn't seem like he wanted to. He was like, I'm fired up to go try to win a title last year. He might not have been.
He's in his mid-30s now.
Supposedly, a lot of people think that they are truly saving space to match anything and to actually pay Lamar Jackson. That's the crazy thing about this is he probably ends up back with the Ravens. I don't know.
Speaking of the Vikings, the Chargers signed linebacker Eric Kendricks, formerly of Minnesota, 2 years, $13.25 million. He had been with Minnesota for 8 seasons. So the Bolts might be ready to cut ties with the guy that has 38 touchdowns in 2 years, but they do get this man.
I mean, they're in a tough situation financially. Like that,
keep spending on defense. Like, spend on offense.
Jimmy Ward to the Texans, who also acquired Shaq Mason from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a swap of late-round draft picks. And let's head to the Kicker Club, Gravedigger. Yeah, it's open during the offseason. In fact, I tell you something. The Kicker Club gets filthy in the offseason.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, check your cell phones in one of those little bags, like when you go to a show.
It's like in a warehouse under a railroad track. You don't know where to find it.
What happens in Kicker Club literally cannot be said anywhere else because it's just filthy.
I'm picturing it as, for anyone who's watched Succession, Tom, right, when he goes on his bachelor party.
I love that episode.
That's the Kicker
Club. Exactly that. Yep. And if you know what Colleen's talking about, everything from that episode happens in the Kicker Club and more. Matt Gay gets paid. He gets the bag from the Colts. So the Rams lose a kicker who's been very good for them. Greg the Leg Zierlein also gets a new deal from the Jets. So there you go. Kicker Club.
The Matt Gay contract is the richest free agent deal for a kicker in the history of the NFL.
When has that gone wrong?
Well, I would just say if you take that to the club, you're operating on a different level than any other kicker around.
There are a few kickers that you could really trust, and of course Tucker is above all of them, but team building, that seems weird. Unless you have like a GOAT level guy, to give a big contract on your salary cap. But then again, I'm talking out of two sides of my mouth because kickers have such a huge part of these games, and we pay them like they're worth nothing.
It screams we haven't had a kicker for like three years,
we
just have to make it happen. Remember when they made fun of the Bucks, Jason Light, for drafting Matt Gay, and he kind of flamed out there quickly. And now he's had a nice little career, and he's breaking my daughter's heart. She loved Matt Gay. And she made us watch the Pro Bowl games just for the moment where they played kick-tack-toe, where kickers would try to kick the ball while playing tic-tac-toe. And Gay wasn't even involved in the end. We thought he was going to. I don't even know.
So
and now she's gone. Having to explain this to her, I just didn't do it this morning. Didn't want to disappoint her.
Light drafted Gay and Robert Aguayo?
I don't know if that was the same.
Wait a second. What you just described sounded like Aguayo. I mean, like
Aguayo.
No, it was
second round pick of the Bucks.
Jason Light drafted Matt Gay. Yeah, back in 2020.
But did he take Aguayo too?
And then he didn't make like the team. He quickly like flamed out.
Aguayo was 2016.
Is it valuable, Greg? For
that was part of the problem. Was he went back to the kicker well, and people were like, "You're doing
this
again."
Didn't they trade up for Aguayo?
They did. Yeah.
That's
right?
Maybe the craziest draft pick in our show's history.
Yeah, he quote or headline: Bucks GM Light defends taking kicker Matt Gay after drafting Robert Aguayo. Yes, so Roberto Aguayo. So he went back
Man,
to the well.
You can really make a case that no one benefited more from the Tom Brady era in Tampa than Light. He was on the way out.
Yeah.
All right. Odds and ends, Connie.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Do we have the latest edition of Odds and Ends?
Of course he does.
He's ready for this.
So I'm still singing, huh?
So yes. You have the double-tracked version already on file, that, and she's going to triple-track it? Please say yes, Justin.
I cut it. It's upstairs.
Ooh, my dog ate my homework.
Justin.
I did cut it.
Did you see how excited we were for this?
The show's downstairs.
Yeah.
We're not upstairs.
I cut it and it's upstairs. All right. We're going to.
You physically left the sound upstairs in a bag
somewhere.
I don't
even know how that works.
It's in the warehouse with all the Scrooge McDuck.
Right, my desktop computer upstairs where I do the editing.
All right. Well,
we're going to give him a pass.
You got to move on. We can't. There's no time to go upstairs.
But understand for tomorrow. Well, she's not going to be on.
Next time Colleen's on, we will have. I could do triple because I could take today's and layer it with yesterday's.
And then she'll be the fourth. And we're getting closer to that goal that we have of the Connie Choir.
Yes.
The Connie Choir.
But feel free to sing in a different octave today if you want.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
I'm
up
not
to
sure.
You.
I think there's only one octave.
Well, oh, look at this Rick Rubin back.
Well, what we want, we do want a different key if you can.
That was, Dan said that yesterday.
Not sure.
To get the harmonies down.
But, well, give it a shot, and if it doesn't work, we'll laugh.
Okay.
What is your normal key?
I don't have one. I'm a terrible singer.
Do your regular.
No, it's pretty good.
It's okay.
You guys have heard it.
It's in it. Yeah, you do.
It's like 50s drunk woman.
Yeah.
Go a little. Okay. Try to see if you can go up Mariah style,
or maybe
one octave.
If anything, I'd have to go lower, I think.
Okay, go
lower.
Go lower. Do whatever you need.
You're in control.
Okay.
Odds and ends, odds and ends. Hey, everybody, tell your friends. It's odds and ends.
Hey!
It's excellent.
Very good.
So now we got the low end.
Okay.
Now we're going to need a falsetto at some point. So you're going to have to be training ahead of this.
Okay.
You have some runway, though.
Graver, can you send me the clip?
Yes.
Which I believe you made that request
yesterday.
I don't know what is Graver up to these days? Where, you know, what's going on?
And can we get some like Antonov back there? Can we get auto-tune or something for next show? Let's really mix it in.
8 o'clock delight. Bears continue their spending spree. DeMarcus Walker. Could then Ellis get big money from the Falcons. Kelvin Beachum back to the Cardinals. Cowboys, they will stay in business with Donovan Wilson. The Seahawks, that we had mentioned, cut Shelby Harris and Quentin Jefferson. Anything else?
John Kaminsky just re-signed minutes ago.
I feel like
$8.5 million.
Anyone going back to the Cardinals, they're just saying, like I own a property here in Phoenix, and I'm not looking to move anytime soon.
I like living in the desert.
Yeah, exactly.
Caden Ellis, it's good to have the team that you play for have their coach and the GM go to your biggest rival, because there's no reason why he got as much money other than the Falcons and Saints were bidding against each other. Although he had like a month of insane play last year.
Aaron Rodgers has also asked the Jets to sign Dorsey Levins. So you got that as well.
He's an executive with, you know,
the bits.
Talent.
Maybe
bits
Jordy Nelson comes back.
Cornerback Emmanuel Mosley to the Lions.
Okay, two cornerbacks there. I like Emmanuel Mosley.
Graver. I like this. Graver cleaning up the loose ends here. Anything else?
There was a couple. Pittsburgh signed an offensive guard, Nate something.
All right.
Herbig, yeah. Nate. Patriots Nate signed. the Steelers signed Nate. The Patriots signed Calvin Anderson, a replacement level swing tackle. We're back.
All right. There you go.
We are getting to the point where, like, we have another show tomorrow. Like, let's see what sort of news lineup we have at that point. Some of these names are becoming a little bit underwater for me.
As each day passes, I look more and more forward to the top of show free agency rundown from all our insiders. The names are going to continue to kind of go in a certain downward trajectory, but that gets me excited. I want the real nitty-gritty of free agency is what I get excited for.
What a time of year for you, then.
Oh,
we still got Orlando Brown is out there. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, James Bradbury, Odell Beckham, Bobby
it's
Wagner.
Like the smart teams. Wait.
Levante David.
Jordan Poyer, right?
Dalton Schultz, Juju, Gesicki.
It is true. The smart teams do wait. The teams that typically win free agency end up bailing on many of these deals quickly down the line. Just a little buyer beware.
I feel like
been
there haven't
done
been
that.
Yeah,
yeah,
I don't feel like there haven't been that, as true many crazy deals this year. Defensive tackles, they got like a decent amount of money, a couple of the tackles, but feels like teams are pretty conservative.
Yeah, not as frenzied.
Jenna Ortega, future of Hollywood? I think so. Thoughts?
Yeah, there's an argument to be made there.
I'm in a big Ortega kick right now. Started watching Wednesday. Watched her on SNL.
Uh-huh.
I believe there is some superstar potential here.
I've seen a number of the Wednesday episodes, so I'd have to side with you. I think she's got.
I mean, I don't think you're first to this corner, but
I watched her Hot Ones episode.
Okay.
I mean, you know, you're doing some research. When
what
you
is it about
ones
her sort of thespian catalog that you enjoy? Her abilities.
She inhabits a smart, you could tell she's intelligent and quick-witted, sense of humor, very cute, kind of girl next door vibe, but also don't mess with her. And a good actor.
All right, so what should we watch? Wednesday?
I would suggest you check out Wednesday on Netflix.
Okay.
Anybody else want to throw out a recommendation right now?
I'd back you on Wednesday, having seen it myself, that it's a
I'm also
a
finishing
good show
up the first Harry Potter book with my sons, and it's very good.
You, season two? She's a pretty big character.
Yes.
Okay.
I did watch that one.
Yeah. Wait, I just want to make sure people heard this because this under the radar gem should not be lost.
What's that?
Harry Potter.
Yeah, developing
Dan
news.
Is
I'm
insane.
Kind of blown away by that.
I believe that this Harry Potter
Potterhead?
Book series.
Your Pothead?
This book series.
Some significant chance at legs. Put it that way.
Wait, this is breaking news. Book
really
series
good
from roughly 19 years
wow
ago is affecting our host.
We are on chapter 13.
Yeah.
And the boys are enraptured, and you know what? So is the old man.
Uh-oh. He put a spell on you. See, this is usually my move of dialing in on something that is like 15 years old, like The Godfather. Right. Uh-huh. Or
well, that's more than 15 like, years old. But
well,
yeah,
okay. I'll crush seasons at a time to get up to the season finale that's
right
coming up. So like I did it for Breaking Bad. I did it for Game of Thrones. And I'm doing it right now for Succession. So
good. Ooh, I'm
just
jealous
started Succession like a week and a half ago, and I crushed two seasons. So
there you
go.
But that's great because there is more Succession coming. So
right, and like just in time for the last season.
It's not like you're into like I Love Lucy or something.
True to the timetable, in like 2048, I'm going to be outraged by J.K. Rowling's. But I have to get there. I'm behind.
You're doing it.
So
you're doing
I have
it
to look
way
forward to.
Yeah, of course.
Anybody else have any content, new or old, to share before we say goodbye?
I don't know how we top, Greg, I don't know about you, but like, we top Harry Potter.
I mean, don't sleep on the Ortega next big thing. Julia Roberts, 1990 type future star of the industry. That's my take.
Popculture.com report. I love it. It's good. Dan's Pop Culture Corner.
Nobody else has it. I know I caught you guys flat-footed. Maybe you guys have a day to think about it, and maybe we'll connect later in the week.
I would just say, and I think Greg would agree, that if you haven't seen Everything Everywhere All at Once in the theater, go to the theater to see it. Don't wait to be at, you know, in your den on a laptop and interrupting it 42 times.
I'm going to do that.
Right. Go see it in the theater.
I've heard that the performances are amazing. The acting is incredible, but the actual story is kind of meh.
No.
I would disagree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hard disagree.
You love like a little post-Oscars talk about the movies involved with the Oscars.
I will say.
We really are behind.
If you go to a theater, you won't be able to enjoy the movie with some Everything Everywhere All at Buns.
Someone suggested Everything Everywhere All at Brunch, which would have been really
good. That is
good.
A good one.
It would have been a different dish.
Yes. I mean, a different setting for the whole party, but that was a good one.
What a crime.
I love it. Heart wipe. All right, that's it. Until tomorrow, when the new league year. It's Happy New Year tomorrow. I guess that would make this New
already,
Year's Eve.
We're announcing stories that haven't even happened.
To Aaron
Time
Rogers
doesn't exist.
And the Jets.
It's done. We almost broke it. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.